Welcome to another edition of the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. It is episode 67 of Stands and Fits in the Carl Chevrolet Studios, presented as always by the Professional MBA Program at the Ivy College of Business at Iowa State. What's going on, dude?
Not a whole lot. The regular. Regular off-season pod coming right up.
Right. We don't have very much to talk about today.
No, not a whole lot of cycling stuff. Thank goodness for the preseason football magazine.
I was going to say, we got saved by Athlon. Mm-hmm. Athlon and Streets and Smith coming out today. Is that where you want to start?
Sure.
You have anything else on your mind?
Is Lindy still a thing?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay.
I think Streets and Smiths is like sporting news, basically.
Gotcha.
I could be wrong.
Yeah.
I don't know. These were the only two that I saw.
Let's dig into those.
Today when I was in the bookstore.
Which bookstore did you go to?
Went to Barnes & Noble on University. No free advertising, though.
Lovely.
So we're not going to say anything else about that.
All right.
I'm just kidding.
We're very strict.
I was at Barnes & Noble. Iowa State picked third in both. I am more of an Athlon guy. Kind of, it's much more comprehensive than what Street and Smith says, but if it's there, I'm going to get it. Obviously, I'm waiting for Phil Steele to come out middle of next month. Mm-hmm. That is kind of the Bible.
Yep.
But this one will have to do for now. Like I said, Cyclones picked third, projected to finish 8-4 in the regular season, 6-3 in Big 12 play. My first thing that I wondered is, who are the three losses? I think you can probably guess two pretty easily.
Yep. Obviously, Texas and Oklahoma.
The only thing that maybe put a question in my mind is that they have Oklahoma and Texas both going 7-2.
So they have both of them dropping at least one game.
Correct.
Now, and obviously if it's 7-2, then that would be just the conference games.
Right.
So they're picking them to lose a toss-up game somewhere.
Right. So obviously one of them will lose to the other.
Yep.
And, okay, so say Oklahoma wins, then they've got to lose two games.
Yep.
Somewhere in there.
And you'd figure, I would bet Iowa State would probably be considered to be one of those.
Well, yeah, I would think they would be a candidate. The only thing that would really worry me about feeling too positive about that is the fact that it's in Norman.
I mean, yeah.
Which obviously, you know.
It's a revenge game for them, even though they got revenge last year.
Well, and despite the fact that they won there last time, they've won there twice. In
yeah.
like the last 30 years.
It is going to be interesting to see how many Iowa State fans kind of expect, if the season's going well up to the point where they go down to Norman, how many people are going to pick them to win in Norman again.
Correct. But that would also mean that Texas would lose one more time, and I would think that that would be a potential for Iowa State.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could say Iowa State loses to both of those teams. And then I figured that if you were going to guess, it would probably be at Baylor would be the next best possibility. I mean, that's what all I looked at. I was like, I don't really know, because you got, you know, the Oklahoma State you play at home. I wouldn't think that they would pick that one.
No.
West Virginia, you go on the road, and they picked them 7th to go 4-5
okay.
in the Big 12. So – So that's kind of where I was at. I was like, man, I don't know. Like, I feel like it's probably got to be Oklahoma, Texas, and Baylor would be the three.
So it's pretty
best
well
candidates.
Well known that Texas and Oklahoma are in front of Iowa State in the standings. But can you go down the list after that they picked them in?
Yeah. So that's the top three, and then it goes Oklahoma State at 4, Baylor at 5. They have the same record. Oh, and they actually have the same record as TCU. They're all 8-4, all 5-4 in the Big 12. West Virginia at 7, 6-6, 4-5 in the Big 12. Texas Tech 5-7, 3-6 in the Big 12. Kansas State 5-7, 3-6 in the Big 12. And Kansas 2-10, 0-9 in the Big 12.
Okay. Man, that middle of the Big 12 this is going to be pretty down this year, I feel like.
Yeah, and that's what made that interesting to me, where I was like, they must play some really crappy non-conference schedules where, I mean, I guess I haven't really looked at them, but
Well, it seems like Baylor for sure always plays a really patsy non-conference schedule.
Yeah, I'm going to look and see what Baylor's non-conference schedule is. This might be funny. They play Stephen F. Austin, Texas San Antonio, and on the road at Rice before the Cyclones come to town on September 28th.
Man, that at Rice game. And I don't know. Rice has fielded a few okay teams in recent years, but I don't think you can really call that a tough game.
No. Yeah, you got – That's so typical Baylor.
Yeah.
That's like the most typical Baylor schedule I've ever seen in my life. So Oklahoma State has at Oregon State, then they play McNeese at home, and then they go on the road to Tulsa.
So at least they play another Power 5 team.
Yeah, Oregon State's like one of the five worst Power 5 teams in the country, though.
But it is a Power 5 team.
Yeah. I guess if we want to get technical.
I mean, you could call it the Kansas of the Pac-12.
This has to be wrong. This is wrong. TCU, they have TCU's 2019 schedule being Stephen F. Austin, UT San Antonio, and at Rice.
Oh.
Before playing Iowa State on September 28th. Mm. So a little bit of a mistake there in Athlon where they put TCU and Baylor's schedule the same.
All right.
So we don't know what – I'm not even going to like take the time to look. We'll assume that it's probably somewhat similar. One interesting thing that I thought about, if Iowa State goes 8-4 and 6-3 in the Big 12, it means that they go 2-1 in non-conference play. And yep. I'm willing to guess – that one projected loss probably is not
Northern Iowa.
Is probably not Northern Iowa and probably not Louisiana Monroe.
No. Doesn't surprise me, honestly. Iowa's had our number for 4 years in a row, so it's pretty easy as a preseason magazine to pick that as a loss for Iowa State.
Yeah. That's what Iowa State is listed as one of the games to watch.
Mm-hmm.
It just notes Matt Campbell has raised the national profile of Iowa State football, but has yet to beat Iowa. I guess I should look at what Iowa's. That would have been an easy way to do this
to verify.
Yeah, they have them going 9-3 and 6-3 in the Big Ten.
So yeah, all their losses in conference.
Iowa State is not a game to watch in the Big Ten, apparently.
Man, because apparently the Big Ten just means more.
I guess maybe it's because they're. That can't be because West Virginia is on the road at Missouri.
Now,
it's not that existing.
Iowa's schedule gets a little bit tougher this year than in past years, correct?
Yeah, it is. Because that's why – so this was interesting to me. They do the unit rankings, and they put out their predicted order of finish in the Big Ten. You didn't see that, did you?
I have not seen anything.
Okay. This team, unit rankings, 3, 9, 9, 6, 8, 10, and 6. So quarterback 3rd, running backs 9, wide receiver tight ends 9, offensive line 6th, defensive line 8th, linebackers 10th, and defensive backs 6th. What position would you predict they would finish in the West Division?
Wait, is that Iowa, or do we not know the team?
I'm not telling you the team. You guess what position they finish in the West Division.
I would project – in the West Division, what, there's 6 teams in the West Division?
Yeah, seven. So,
seven teams. Okay, so if there's 7 teams, I would project that team finishes 4th or 5th.
That is Athlon's Big Ten West Division champions.
Holy
Nebraska
crap.
Cornhuskers.
No way.
Yes.
See, I was going to guess it was Nebraska because their QB is good.
Yes.
But
they've got Iowa.
Wow.
Iowa's is quarterback 4th, running back 6th, wide receivers tight ends 10th. Offensive line 2nd, defensive line 5th, linebackers 9th, and defensive backs 3rd.
Huh. See, and that,
we're going to come back to that.
On paper, that sounds better than what you listed for Nebraska.
Yeah. But Nebraska plays them at home. I guess that was the point of all of this, was that I was going to go and look at that. But
yep.
No, Iowa's schedule, they, like I said, they got to go to, where's Iowa at? They have to go to Nebraska in the last game of the season. They have Miami of Ohio, home against Rutgers, at Iowa State, home against Middle Tennessee, at Michigan.
That's a big one.
Come back home and play Penn State at home.
Another big one.
You got Purdue at home, which should probably be a pretty good game.
Yep.
At Northwestern, at Wisconsin, home against Minnesota, home against Illinois, and at Nebraska.
Okay.
And they have Michigan going, I think, 11-1. And going to the college football playoff, if I remember correctly. 12-1. Yeah. And winning the Big – and obviously beating Nebraska in the Big Ten championship.
So no Ohio State for Iowa this year. But then again, having Ohio State on the schedule hasn't meant an automatic loss for them either.
No.
They've beaten Ohio State a couple times.
I mean, if we looked at this, it's obviously a win against Miami of Ohio, win against Rutgers. Iowa State I think Iowa State will win that game. I think that you probably think Iowa State will win that game.
But at the same time, again, I'm not surprised that Athlon picks them to lose.
I would consider that to be a toss-up. Win against Middle Tennessee. Not winning at Michigan.
Nope.
Penn State won't be as good without Trace McSorley and all the guys that they've lost. So
They'll still be solid, though.
Yeah, they'll still be solid. But I would say at home, I'd give the upper hand to Iowa there.
Mm-hmm.
Home against Purdue, I think that's probably a win. I think it could be a good game, though. At Northwestern?
You never know with Northwestern, man.
Right.
Especially when Iowa plays them.
Right. I'd call that a toss-up, too. At Wisconsin, I'd call that a toss-up. Minnesota at home, probably a win. Illinois at home, a win. And then at Nebraska, another one that I would say is probably a toss-up.
Yeah. So it sounds like there's a lot more toss-up games in Iowa's schedule this year than maybe in the past. Like, in the past, it seems like they had maybe one or two games that were kind of the pivotal. You have to win that game, and you have to get an upset in order to have a better-than-average Kirk Ferentz season.
Right. And even last year, or 2 years ago, you know, they destroyed Ohio State. They nearly beat Penn State. And, like, it just worked out where they got Ohio State and Penn State at home in the same season.
Yeah.
Like, that hardly ever happens. That's why this – in comparison to some of those other schedules, this one looks difficult.
Yeah.
Because of the fact that they've got to go to Wisconsin and go to Michigan, go to Nebraska. I don't know the last time that I saw Iowa have to go on the road that many times in the Big Ten to, like, legitimate atmospheres.
Uh-uh. Yeah. And, man, I don't know. And that offense is going to be interesting, too, because if they can't figure out how to replace Noah Fant and T.J. Hockenson, it might be a struggle sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, that's why their receivers are ranked 10th.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, yeah, Nate Stanley can be as good as anybody in the country. If you don't have anybody to throw the football to, then things could get a little dicey.
In all likelihood, we could see Nate Stanley picked in the top, three rounds in next year's draft if he has a good year.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he was the fourth best Big Ten quarterback behind, I would assume, Justin Fields and Shea Patterson and then Adrian Martinez at Nebraska.
Yep.
I don't think you can argue that, really. Mm-hmm. All right, so then Iowa State – their unit rankings. This is where I think things get really interesting. Quarterback third. Brock Purdy picked third team all Big 12 preseason. Obviously, I think people can guess the first two. Sam Ellinger was first team and Jalen Hurts was second team. Running back was ninth.
That doesn't surprise me because there's a whole bunch of unknowns right now for Iowa State's backfield.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess at the same time, you're looking at a unit. So I wonder if the –
who does Texas Tech bring back?
That's a good question.
So Texas Tech is eighth. I'm looking. They return Tajon Henry, former Iowa State recruit. They've got a sophomore and a freshman. And they've got like 341 yards rushing returning.
Yep.
In Tajon Henry, and then the backup is a freshman.
But again, I get
who didn't play.
Because Iowa State's going to heavily rely on two freshmen, Kane Nwangwu and Johnny Lang, essentially.
But wouldn't you feel like if you look at what Sheldon Crony and Kane and Johnny Lang have done,
like
they've all been serviceable at different times. Like I would look at those three guys and be like, I mean, Kane ran for 157 yards on 39 carries, and Johnny Lang ran for 79 yards on 22 carries.
The problem is
I don't know what Sheldon ran for.
The problem, again, is just that it's a small sample size compared to a bunch of other schools.
That's fair. I would think, though, you're just, like, really looking at names at that point more than you are anything else.
And you're not wrong, but at the same time, how much time can you really put into it?
Yeah.
A lot of time.
Well, it's like, this is just where I'm coming from, where it's like when I look at them ranked ninth, I'm like, man, like their best offensive game they played might have been that Oklahoma State game, and David Montgomery didn't even play.
My guess would be at the end of the year, we're looking back, and Iowa State's running backs would be right in the middle of the Big 12 as far as effectiveness.
Right. Well, that's like you said, you got two true freshmen that you don't really know at this point what you're going to get. Iowa State's receiver seventh.
That's a little bit low. I would have pegged them probably fifth or so, I think.
Yeah. I would be interested to know if those rankings were put together before
LaMichael Petway.
Petway was signed. But I would think that DeShonte Jones was third team all Big 12. And, I mean
– Tariq Milton's going to be pretty good.
Yeah, that's what – like I looked at that and I was like, man, DeShonte third team all Big 12. I feel like Tariq Milton would have a good – case to be something, but obviously there's so many good receivers, you never know.
Does their wide receiver group involve tight ends as well?
Or is it separate? Yeah, wide receivers. Yeah, wide receivers and tight ends.
See, that would make them bump up in my opinion, because I think Iowa State has a pretty solid group of tight ends for the Big 12.
I mean, they might have the best group of pass catching tight ends in the league.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't think of somebody that would have better guys.
I don't know.
Oklahoma,
I mean,
maybe.
Yeah, as I say, Oklahoma uses their tight end a lot, but other than that, I don't know.
I mean, you look at between Chase Allen and Charlie Kohler, like
both of those guys are real good pass catchers.
Well, and that's what I mean. Even before they went and got Petway, I looked at it and I was like, all right, you got Deshaunte Jones, who's caught a lot of passes at Iowa State. Obviously, he's been more of a complimentary guy previously, but then you got Tariq, who we saw what he could do last year, and from all, you know, from everything that we've heard, he's a guy that they feel like can make a big jump in year two, getting into more of a spotlight type position. And then we saw Charlie Kohler do it last year. We've seen Chase Allen do it before. Mm-hmm. That's where I look at those four guys and say, man, you got a pretty good base there, regardless Agreed. Of the fact that I think you've got a better base. You don't have the star potential, but you might have a better like core base four than what you have in the last 2 years.
And that's probably what's keeping them down, is that you don't look at that list of names and be like, wow, that guy's really good to any of them.
Well, yeah, and I'm sure you get a lot of help when you've got a Hakeem Butler. Yep. Or an Allen Lazard that everybody knows who they are. You know, you look at Deshaunte Jones and it's like, well, yeah, he's caught a lot of passes, but it's like, who is that?
A lot of people probably figure too that, oh, now that Iowa State doesn't have Lazard or Butler, they don't have that big wide receiver they can rely on. So it's like, they're gonna have to fall back on these other receivers.
Right. The offensive line, fifth.
I think that's high until you prove otherwise.
Fifth.
Now, they return a lot of experience. I'll give them that. But is it necessarily the best experience?
Iowa State has two guys on the All-Big 12 team on the offensive line, Josh Knipfel and Julian Good-Jones.
Yeah.
Other teams with two guys. Texas has two on the first team.
Good for them.
Texas Tech. Does Texas Tech have two? Yeah, they've got two.
Oklahoma lost a lot, but Oklahoma's always good on O-line.
Yeah, they still have Oklahoma at number one, but that's probably just based on pure amount, the fact that they just recruit ridiculously. Oklahoma has the second team center. So Iowa State has more preseason all-conference offensive linemen, according to Athlon, than Oklahoma does.
And that, again, by the end of the year, I think we'll be looking back and we'll kind of just see that Oklahoma was better.
And I think a lot of them being ranked fifth, you can put it on. Okay, so Baylor returns. Baylor is ninth. They return two. Obviously, we just mentioned Iowa State returns all five starters.
Mm-hmm.
Kansas returns three. They are at – well, I don't think I need to tell you what Kansas is at. Kansas State returns three. They are seventh. Oklahoma returns the one, and they're, like I mentioned, they're number one. Oklahoma State returns three, and they are third. TCU has two. They're fourth. Texas returns two, and they are second. I should have probably known that. Texas Tech has four.
Sixth, I think.
Yeah, and they're sixth. And then West Virginia is eight, and they've got two.
Okay.
So I mean, you can. I think that Iowa State almost gets bumped up to fifth based on the pure fact that they're the only team in the league that has all five guys returning, and they've all played together. Okay, they've got five starters. They're bound to be at least average, right?
Yeah. But again, it's so hard for me, like having watched that offensive line, and I hope that they're better this year.
Yeah.
Like, and you know, every Cyclone fan does. But having watched film again every game last year, it's like, man, I wouldn't rate that a top half of the Big 12 line.
Well, that's what I was so shocked when I saw that. I was like, man.
Yeah.
When's the last time Iowa State was fifth in the Big 12 and?
If Iowa State has the fifth best line in the Big 12 this year, they will finish third or better.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. If Iowa State has the fifth best offensive line in the Big 12, they might go to the Big 12 championship game.
Honestly,
legitimately.
They might. Yeah.
Yeah. And it makes the fact that you've got all these running backs that are kind of unproven.
Yeah.
It really changes things a little bit.
The offensive line has been by far the biggest deficiency on offense, and it's what's been holding our offense back from taking that next step.
Man, that running backs thing still has me a little confused. Like, they got two four-star running backs coming in.
Yeah.
Like, I would think that just on pure talent, you look at it, it's like, okay, there's some talent there. You know, guys that – they have Kane Nwangwu as their first-team kick returner.
Yeah.
Like, they know that he's good.
I wonder if they're pessimistic on the running backs just because they're not convinced the offensive line's going to be that good this year. But at the same time,
it doesn't really add up.
I know, but because that would be my logic as to why they'd rate the running backs so low.
All right, well, that doesn't matter. Man, I feel bad for Kansas. They got the 10th quarterback, the 10th wide receiver tight ends, the 10th offensive line, the 10th defensive line, the 10th linebackers, the 10th defensive backs. But hey, Puka Williams bumps him up to 5th on the in the running backs.
Good for Puka.
Did Puka ever get his legal situation figured out?
I was just going to ask you that. Yeah, I didn't know.
I don't know if I've ever heard anything about that.
Is he actually going to start the year?
That's what I'm wondering.
He might be suspended a game or two. We'll see.
The lowest one that Texas has is 3rd wide receivers and tight ends.
Man.
Even Oklahoma's 6th in the defensive line. 6th, 7th, and 9th on defense.
Yeah, their defense was bad last year.
Speaking of defense, there is one clear defense U, and that is Iowa State.
Yeah, man.
The defensive line, ranked number 1. Linebackers, ranked number 1. Defensive backs, ranked number 3. They're like aggregate average defense ranking is the same as Texas's.
That's incredible.
Because Texas goes 2-2-1 and Iowa State goes 1-1-3.
If they play to their potential this year, it might be the most fun defensive season at Iowa State ever. And last year was a heck of a lot of fun.
Right. And I was like, man, okay. I wonder if they're basing that on the units or what. But they've got Jaquan Bailey, first team all Big 12 at defensive end. Ray Lima, first team all Big 12 at defensive tackle. Marshall Spears, first team all Big 12 at linebacker, and Greg Eisworth, first team all Big 12 at safety.
Man, that center of the defense is going to be so solid.
So there's 4 Cyclones on the first team all Big 12 defense. Baylor has 2, Kansas State has 1, Oklahoma has 1, TCU has 1, and Texas has 1, and Oklahoma State has 1. So they've got 4, and the next closest is 2, and everybody else there has 1.
That's awesome, dude.
That's unreal.
That's hype train stuff.
Well, yeah, and to make it even crazier, they get – Mike Rose, second mm-hmm. team, and I think that there's probably a case that could be made for him to have been
first team.
That I think you could have made a case to put him above Marcel to flip those two.
Yeah.
Not that I'm saying Marcel like doesn't deserve that.
They're both just really good.
Right. They're both really good, and I think you can, if you really want to start picking nits, you know. And then they didn't have anybody on the third team.
And the crazy thing is they're replacing 2 cornerbacks, and they still rank highly in the secondary, too.
Right. Right. Well, and that's probably largely on the Eisworth. Fact that you bring all your safeties back and the 2 cornerbacks that are stepping in. We've already seen a lot of
yeah,
them.
Yeah, they got a lot of PT last year.
Yeah. The only guys that I looked at that I was like, man, maybe you could make a case for him was any. I think you could probably
yeah. and
make
I think
a case for him
if
being
he
there.
Had, if he had not been injured last year, I think he probably would have been on one of those teams.
Right. But based on this, in the amount of pub that Jaquan Bailey gets in here, there's a – So they do it like an anonymous coaches thing.
Mm-hmm.
This says, quote, Jaquan Bailey would start for anybody in the league. He's a hell of an end. Stands and Fitz is going to be the drivers of the Jaquan Bailey Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year train.
Ooh, I like it.
I'm calling it right now. That's what we're. That's going to be our hill to live on to start the season.
You don't know off the top of your head how many sacks he had last year, did you? Or he had a ton.
He had 8 sacks last year.
He had a ton at the beginning of the year, right?
Yeah, and then he had a couple right at the end.
Yeah, I want to say.
But he enters this season tied for the all-time lead in sacks at Iowa State, 18 and a half.
Oh, really? So he just needs one more to break it?
He'll be the all-time leader in sacks within probably the first
well,
2 weeks
that's
of the
all
season.
The, that's all the fuel you need for the hype train right there.
Exactly. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, oh, and the rising star for Iowa State, Breece Hall.
So they're well aware of what's going
to
be coming.
Right. But to bring that all full circle, Iowa State projected to go to the Camping World Bowl. And that is because Athlon is not near as high on Texas as what Street and Smith's is. Mm-hmm. They have the Longhorns going to the Alamo Bowl and Oklahoma going to the Sugar Bowl.
Okay. So they don't have any Big 12 playoff.
No. No Big 12 team in the playoff. And then no Big 12 team getting an at-large.
Gotcha. And I think that's not surprising either. Like, I think the Big 12 as a whole is going to be down this year, and I feel like the strength of the conference or the lack of it is probably going to keep them low in the committee's mind.
That would mean that they've probably – like, they're general – I would think to the aggregate or just, like, the average, what people are going to pick Texas, like, they're probably pretty low, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to think that they're going to go 9-4, who do they play in the – so they must have them losing to LSU then.
Yeah. Man, the SEC bias.
Athlon, man.
Shame.
I wouldn't be too mad about going to the Camping World Bowl, though.
No, that'd be fun.
That just feels so much less, like, so much lower profile than the
Alamo Bowl.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Alamo Bowl has been around a long time, and I think just because the Camping World Bowl is, like, a relatively new sponsored bowl.
Right. And then you go and play Virginia. I don't know.
Yeah, that's very unsexy.
I think Virginia, I don't know what Virginia is in the preseason top 25. I'm going to go out on a limb and say it's not very high. They're 25th, actually. So
right,
24
right.
versus 25.
Gotcha.
For what it's worth, I listed off all of those rankings, and Iowa State having number one defensive line, number one linebackers, they're not in the top 10 in the country. But I would imagine that they've got to be right on the edge.
So that, again, that kind of just goes to show the national perception of the Big 12's defensive strength.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, I would think that they've got it. That's why I'm interested to see Phil Steele come out, because he expands his more than what Athlon does.
Gotcha.
But this brings me to an interesting – or something that I saw on Twitter, an argument I was seeing people get into on Twitter yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Someone put out a poll. Some random person put out a poll. And some people got real upset when Iowa State's front seven was winning the poll against Iowa's front seven.
Oh, really?
And then I looked at these numbers and I was like, maybe not quite as ridiculous as what some folks in parts of the state might think.
Yeah. Well, again, I think the argument is if you put straight up defensive line, I mean, Iowa's defensive line is still pretty dang good. They've got Epinesa and obviously, did they return one of the Nelson kids? I know Anthony Nelson's gone, but is Matt Nelson still around, or is he graduate?
I don't know. I'll be honest, I have no idea.
But, I mean, their defensive line's going to be pretty good again. But at the same
time,
what
was their defensive line ranked in the Big Ten?
Their linebackers are taking a step back.
Yeah, I mean, they're ninth in the – like I said, they're ninth in the Big Ten. But in their defense, ninth in the Big Ten, Michigan is 10th, and they're fourth in the Big Ten. So, like, ninth in the Big Ten is not that big of a deal. But they have Iowa's defensive line at fifth in the Big Ten. And there's three Big Ten teams in the top 15 or in top 10. So, like, they're probably still a top 15 to 20 defensive line.
Does Athlon show the depth chart for the linebackers for Iowa? I can't even remember who they have at linebacker nowadays.
They will. This is what I love about this. I just need to have this here all the time now.
Unless I just want to hear them real fast.
Nick Neiman, Christian Welch, and Dijon Colbert.
See, I think I'd take all three of Iowa State's linebackers before I'd take any of those guys.
Didn't Imani Jones start some games last year? Is that right?
I don't know.
I don't remember.
I don't follow them that closely.
But, no, I would not. I mean, they returned four starters on defense.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess. And then Epinesa. He was technically not a starter, but he was a starter.
Yeah.
He played, like, starter minutes,
you
know. They only return, according to this, they return nine starters, 10 if you include the punter.
Man, so I don't know. They're gonna. Everyone kind of assumes that they're gonna be good again, but I don't know. Are they?
I don't know. Like, yeah, I would think they'll be solid.
It helps that you bring back a good offensive line, you bring back a good solid quarterback. That'll go a long way. But at the same time, they might take a step back.
Yeah. This isn't quite right because I do believe that Will McDonald will start at linebacker for Iowa State.
Oh, okay.
And they've got Braxton Lewis at the star, which if he was playing the star, he'd be the returning starter. And they don't have Lawrence White. So there's some things that
you can
look at and be like, oh, okay, that's not quite right. But so that's Athlon. Street and Smith, I'll just tell you, they haven't picked third in the Big 12 too. Same four guys on the first team, Lima, Bailey, Spears, and Eisworth, with a trip to the Alamo Bowl. Return to the Alamo Bowl.
Gotcha. So they're higher on the Big 12 as far as getting in the playoff. I'm assuming they think Oklahoma's going back to the playoff?
Yeah, they do. They have Oklahoma as the four in the college football playoff.
See, and I really think that Jalen Hurts is not going to be as good of a quarterback for them as Baker Mayfield or Kyler Murray.
I definitely agree with that. But then they have Texas getting a at-large into the Sugar Bowl.
Yep.
And then Iowa State playing Washington in the Alamo Bowl.
Dang, Washington teams, man.
Yeah.
That'd be a fun matchup, though.
Yeah, that'd be a good game.
Mm-hmm.
Two good defenses.
Yep.
I don't know who Washington has offensively anymore.
Would you say
they were 12th in that preseason poll for
like
what it's worth.
The Alamo Bowl was really fun, but do you see their – like, if they go straight back there, do you think there's a little bit of fatigue from the fan base?
No. I don't think so.
You think it turns into a let's invade the Alamo again?
Yeah. I think that game is high profile enough that people would be cool with going back.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. It was really fun. I would do it again.
Like, if it was the Liberty Bowl, going back-to-back years to the Liberty Bowl, I think there would have been some fatigue at that point where it's just like, man, we're kind of just in like a third tier bowl game here. But I don't know. At the same time, I think Iowa State fans will go about anywhere if they get, have an excuse to go somewhere and just get really drunk for a couple of days.
Yeah, exactly.
And there, I don't know of a better excuse to go somewhere and get really drunk than the Riverwalk.
Indeed, yeah. As far as location, the Alamo Bowl cannot be beat for most of the time.
I'm sure San Antonio would be absolutely stoked if Iowa State came back.
Yeah, exactly. The Alamo Bowl seemed like the Alamo Bowl itself and their Twitter account seemed to really love that Iowa State, you know, hyped it up a lot.
Wouldn't you? What was their economic impact on the city? It was crazy.
I can't remember the number, but it was big.
Yeah, it was crazy. Orlando would be cool, though, too. I think that'd just be a really expensive place to go.
It
especially
would.
At Christmas time.
Orlando would be the kind of thing where it'd be fun to do one time, but if Iowa State went there back-to-back years, there'd be big fatigue for that one.
Yeah. Yeah, if Nebraska, like, my mom and dad would go to some of those bowl games, and they went to – I don't know if they went to Orlando. They might have. But they went to, like, Jacksonville one year, and it was like they went to one of those games down there, like, 3 years in a row.
Oh, really?
And everybody was just like, man, can we just go somewhere besides Florida, please? Which is crazy because it's like, how mad can you be about going to Florida in the middle of December and
exactly.
If you live in Nebraska or Iowa?
It's got to be at least 70 degrees down there, if not warmer.
Right.
And it's going to be like 0 degrees back home.
Exactly. All right. We got mailbag questions.
I
think that's all we've got.
We have a couple. Loyal Fokker asks, for Stans and Fitz specifically, and this is in my mailbag thread, top five mixed drinks to order from Welch Avenue Station.
I can only really name one. That's the Pissed Off Minnow Farmer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
See, and I'm not a big mixed drink guy. Like, I'll just go and get beer, but...
Yeah, I mean, if I go to Welch, like, I don't stray, like, too often into the weird drinks. I'll get a Minnow Farmer when I would go there on my birthday back when I was in college because they're, like, $11.
Oh, really?
And then you get one for free on your birthday. So it's just, hey, now I get a special treat.
So
as
Welch
Farmer.
Like, I've only been to Welch Avenue like once or twice.
Oh,
do they have
that's problematic.
Do they have their own mixed drinks, like names for them? Or is it just like typical alcohol?
Yeah, they have a bunch of, like, that's what a Minnow Farmer is, specifically a Welch Ave drink, I think.
Yeah, I can't answer that question, honestly. I was hoping you to help me out a little bit, but.
No, I mean, I'm sorry, Loyal Fokker. but I've only ever had a Minnow Farmer from there.
Yeah.
That I can think of off the top of my head. Other than that, I just get beer.
Well, there we go.
Pint or something.
So you're speaking on our behalf, and the Minnow Farmer is the official mixed drink of Stans and Fitz.
At least from Welch Ave Station.
Yeah. Okay. Disky Disc asks, what is the best taco you have ever had?
I don't know. What's the best taco you've ever had?
It's pretty cliche because usually, like, if I'm going to a nice restaurant, I don't order tacos.
No.
I get other stuff. So I feel like there are a bunch of tacos that I could have ordered that would probably be better than what I'm about to say. But as far as, like, convenience and quality, Tasty Tacos is up there for me. Just because it's a tier above the Taco Bells and Taco Johns and all those. But it's not, like, full on. You have to pay $15 for a plate of food.
I'm just really not a huge, especially, like, fast food tacos guy.
Yeah.
It does not sit well with me, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. I enjoy
it. Just like runs right through me. Just gotta, like, I eat my taco and then immediately I'm like, oh boy, where's the bathroom?
And, you know, the Bells and the Johns, they don't screw me up like they do some people. Like, I know if some people will eat Taco Bell and they won't be right in the gut for like a week.
Yeah.
I'm not like that. Like, I can handle it. But at the same time, I'm not going to claim that Taco Bell is like the world's best cuisine.
I like the chicken tacos from Estas in Ames. Those are good.
I think I've had the beef tacos there. I've never had the chicken ones.
If I go to Fuzzy's or there's a place I like to go downtown, I'm not going to say it because I don't want.
Would you get made fun of?
No, I'm not going to get made fun of. I just don't want to give the name out because I like it to be my spot.
Oh, very, very protective.
Well, yeah, no, I don't want to put the name out there and then have all people be like, oh man, I'm going to go see if Jared's at such and such.
Oh. Man, you big celeb.
Well, no, not that that would happen, but I'm thinking, like, I don't want to put this name out there and then have it not be quiet the next time I try and go in there, you know?
So it's a get off my lawn type thing.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Cause I try and go in there and like beat the rush of when people are way too drunk and they are in line at the bar or in line at the restaurant after the bar's closed. But I just get like nachos. Like, if I go to Fuzzy's, I get ground beef nachos with just cheese on them.
Yeah.
That's my go-to.
Nachos are a solid. Like, if I go to a Mexican place, I will sometimes order nachos straight up off the app menu and just eat those.
Yeah.
So.
Cool. All right. That's all you got?
Yep, that's all the mailbag questions for today.
All right, for sure. We'll be right back after a quick break, do some hot and not and pick four on Stands and Fits, presented by the Professional MBA Program at the Ivy College of Business at Iowa State on the Cycling Fanatic Podcast Network.
Hey, guys, it's Chris interrupting this podcast because, you know, everybody wants to know that I get it asked all the time. How can we help Cycling Fanatic? Well, you help Cycling Fanatic by you support our advertisers, and everybody needs to be aware of eye care. I wasn't for a long time, and I went to Ames Eye Care, and they really helped me out. It's changed my life. I don't have headaches the way that I did. You've heard me talk about this. They're also in Des Moines at Des Moines Eye Care, and you need to think about this with your family. Get the kids checked out. Encourage the wife. Anything. Personalized eye care, designer eyewear. I've got these sweet Maui Jim glasses that I use at work all the time. People think they look awesome. They meet your whole family's vision needs at Ames and Des Moines Eye Care. Check them out today and support Cyclone Fanatic.
Time for Hot Knot. I just told Fitzy more about my...
Man, I know so much that these people listening don't know. I feel so privileged.
It probably wouldn't be that hard to figure out, but...
No.
It's... So I gave you more of my reasoning. I explained it more.
I'll respect your decision to withhold information.
Yeah. Hot and not.
You
want to go first?
You go first this week. Actually, no. I'll go first.
Okay.
Because your hot and my not kind of match up. So my hot this week is awkward Uber rides. And I put this in my hot because it was kind of funny to me.
Okay.
So I was in Vegas over the weekend because I go there every year for the last 3 years to sell videos for my real job.
Did you place any wagers?
I did.
Did you win any wagers?
At first.
What'd you win on?
At first, I won slots, actually. I started with roulette, and that started going badly. But then I went to slots, and I actually won fairly big on slots. And then it kind of did not go well from there.
When I was there, I got really self-conscious to play cards or roulette or anything like that.
Because
I just don't know what I'm doing well enough. I don't want to mess up everybody else's thing.
The casino I'm at, it has a roulette station where, like, it's an actual ball and stuff. So I feel like I'm not getting rigged by, like, a computer. So it'll actually roll the ball around, but you can bet, like, on computer screen.
Oh, okay.
So I like that part of it. But anyways, awkward Uber ride. So I'm down there for work, and this year both of my direct bosses that I report to are down there as well. So I get in there Thursday night. We kind of walk around the strip because one of my bosses has never been down on the strip. Super late. We get done. It's probably like 2 a.m. our time, so 12 midnight there. We call an Uber. Guy rolls up in a small BMW. We all pile in. my boss kind of makes a comment about, wow, these guys are really trying to push these cards. Because if you've ever been to Vegas, you know that there's a bunch of people pushing, like, deals for strip clubs.
Right.
And, like, they're trying to hand out cards to get you to, like, keep those and remember the deals. So, anyway, he kind of just makes a comment about that to the driver. And the driver just goes into this huge spiel, like, full on talking about what you need to do in order to get stuff from strippers.
Okay.
And this is just, he goes the full nine yards, like, overboard. It's like, my bosses are pretty conservative people, I would say.
Uh-huh.
And he's just in there talking like, oh, yeah, man, if you want a girl to such and such and such, then you just got to throw down 100. She'll give you a no.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm not going to go any further than that. But it was like, it was both hilarious and terrifying at the same time.
We should have just had you say it, and then I would have beeped it out for you.
I'm not going to say it because I feel awkward saying it. But it was just funny to me because I was sitting in the back and next to one of my bosses and the other one was in the front. And this guy was just talking like he had been talking to my bosses for 20 years. And it's just that kind of conversation.
With the stripper? Or not the stripper?
There was no stripper in the car.
Yeah, no. With the Uber driver?
Yeah, with the Uber driver. And the Uber driver was just like, there was a little bit of a cultural difference too. Like, you know, he's of different descent, I think. So he didn't really get that we weren't wanting that kind of tips.
Yeah.
But he was giving us every tip we would ever want if we were to go to one of those strip clubs. Which we were not going to
one of
the strip
clubs. Like one of the weirdest things to me too, because they drive around in the vans where you can hop in and they'll take you. And it's like, and they say, what do they say? Like $40 cover and then you drink for free. And
yeah.
It's like,
it's just a way to get you to come, I guess.
Right.
It is interesting to like the,
it's like you can drink for free on the strip. Why would I go to the strip club?
Exactly. All the different ploys they get you to actually try to come to the strip club, you know?
Yeah. When we were there, we rode in an Uber and we wanted to see the place where Tupac got shot.
Oh, yeah.
And we asked our Uber driver, and I'm pretty confident he is not from the United States of America.
Mm-hmm.
And we said, like, hey, do you know where Tupac got shot? He said, who?
Oh, really?
We're like, Tupac. He said, I don't know who that is. And we're like, oh. Okay, so I'm going to guess you don't know where he got shot then.
Nope.
You can't take us there.
Probably not.
So that we can, you know, pay homage to him.
So the question, I don't know. I mean, I know who Tupac is, obviously, but, like, I don't know where he got shot. Do you know now where he got shot? Like, how far away is it from the strip? Or is it on the
strip? It's, like, right there, not very far away, I don't think.
Is it?
I would have to, yeah, I'd have to look it up. I mean, We should have just looked it up and asked him to take us there.
But it wasn't, like in the back alleys or anything, was it?
No, because he was in a car. They were driving to a party at a club.
Oh.
And somebody pulled up and shot him.
Gotcha.
Suge Knight hired somebody to pull up and shoot him.
That's
what I think. But it's a whole other.
Yeah.
It's a whole other thing.
Yep.
What else was I going to say? Oh, I had an interesting Uber ride on Friday night. I was coming home, and I get in the car, and it almost always, if I get in an Uber, the Uber driver says, how tall are you? Always.
Yeah.
So I tell him, and he's like, where are you from? And I said, told him I was from Southwest Iowa, and I could tell that he was not from Southwest Iowa. And I said, where are you from? And he's like, oh, I'm from Mexico. I was like, oh, okay, cool. And then there's just like kind of a lull, like where we didn't really say anything. He was playing these tunes that were in Spanish.
Yeah.
So I'm just like in my own little zone, just kind of looking around. And he's like, you play basketball? Yeah, I used to. He's like, are you going to play for America in the Olympics?
Oh man.
I was like, no.
Not, no, you're not quite that good.
No, probably not.
Maybe if you really try hard to train for the next year, maybe you'll get to that point.
I am going to go out on the limb and say no. But it was a very reckless ride. He got pulled over like while we were like a couple blocks away from my apartment. I just got out and walked.
Seriously?
Yeah, I was like, all right, man.
Wow.
Because I'm going to wait for this guy to get up here and tell him what's going on, and then I'm walking. So I'm not sitting here with you while we do this.
So was he just swerving then?
No, he was going
too fast.
55 in a... In a zone that is not 55.
Oh, was that like near that church that's near your apartment?
Yeah.
Because I know there's a cop that always sits over there.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Should have warned him, man. Could have given him a heads up.
No, I was going to, and then I could already see what was about to happen. So I was like, it's too late now.
Couldn't stop the inevitable.
No, it's all good, though. I assume he was safe. I don't know.
Hopefully he wasn't illegal and he's not getting deported right now.
Yeah, that's kind of why I was like, all right, man, I think I'm just going to walk the rest of the way home.
Yeah,
I'm close enough now that I can just hoof it on the way over there. My hot this week is the end of Game of Thrones.
So why is it your hot this week, Jared?
So it's widely known that I am anti-Game of Thrones in my own mind. I, like, if you want to watch Game of Thrones, that's perfectly fine, like, but I don't care. I don't care at all. To see the complete meltdown that people were going on, the roller coaster of meltdown that people were going on during that finale, I was sitting there just like, man, I am so glad that I'm not a part of this in any way.
Yeah.
And it was so funny. I had my one buddy that he was super deep into it, and he was so mad about the way the entire final season played out and just how he was just going off the entire time about how big of a joke it was the way that they ended the show.
Yeah. And, you know, it's kind of hard to get you to verify since you haven't really seen it, but
I know more or less what happened. I mean, I can keep up with the idea.
They should have dedicated more episodes/seasons, I think. They could have gone at least, like, two or three more episodes and given everything a little bit more context. And the fact that everyone likes to say that, like, when the books end, that's when the writing started going downhill. And I don't disagree, but I feel like, you know, there were some obvious things that they could have done a little bit better that they didn't do.
See, and here's my thing with this. Like, you talk about the books. And that's why I'm sure that some of the fault, like, lands on the shoulder of those guys that wrote it. I don't remember what their names are, but I know that they're pretty much the guys who wrote most of the final season. And even the season before that, wasn't it?
I think it was basically from the beginning.
Yeah. Well, David, they wrote the whole thing, but then after, like, once they ran out of the adaption, like, then they're coming up with it basically on their own.
Yeah, yeah.
It would be so hard to have that book kind of as your roadmap, or like the books as your roadmap of what you're supposed to do. And like, there's very clear, like, what the plot lines are mapped out.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden that's gone and you're like, damn.
Yeah.
now we got to make this thing.
Well,
and they're not the ones that write the books. Like, if you write the book, you've got all of that stuff mapped out perfectly in your head.
Well, and the thing is, I know that they've talked to George R.R. Martin, who wrote the books. And I'm pretty sure he gave them, like, a general roadmap of where everything's going to go. So they had the outline, but he didn't really – I'm sure he doesn't have the details nailed down. Otherwise, he would have published the books by now.
Well, yeah, and it's – the thing for him, too, is that you can put so much more detail into a book.
Absolutely.
And that's why – I mean, I don't know all the details of, like, why they did the certain number of episodes they did, probably because it's so expensive to make it that HBO is like, yeah, dude, like, we're only going to do this for – however many more weeks. Like,
yeah.
This is ridiculous.
Well, I think a lot of the actors and the producers kind of just wanted to move on at this point, too. They've been doing it for 10 years now. So.
Right. But that's why I can't fault those guys, because when you're doing something that extensive and something that is that, like...
grand of a scale.
Expansive, just like, that it's so big, and the number of plot lines that are involved. And I know that people were mad that they left so many questions and holes and stuff. Like, they just never answered so many things. And it's like, man, like, they only had so much time.
Yeah.
You know, you, in a book, you've got endless amounts of time. That's why it takes them 7 years to write the book or whatever it's been at this point.
And as someone who did watch the final season, and obviously I've watched the rest as well, but I kind of felt like I was in the middle of the spectrum. Like, a lot of people did like it, and a lot of, I would say more people were disappointed. I was kind of meh feeling at the end of it. Like, I thought the finale wasn't disappointing necessarily. It just felt like, okay, everything's wrapped up now, but at the same time, like, I wasn't that necessarily like, wow, that was great.
Right. See, and that's what I think a lot of people had, that thing where it's just, it all felt really rushed. It's like, we're not even going to go back and answer anything. It's just like, we're trying to figure out a way to
like
end it.
The season, while it was playing out, felt rushed. And then once it was done, it was just like, well, we're done now.
Well, like, and then by then it'd been, what, 6 weeks? So it's like, what more do you expect? Obviously, it was going to be rushed. It's no different than any of the other.
Yeah.
And that's where you see the people that created the petition to, like, redo the whole thing. It's like, well, for one, they ain't putting the money in that. They're cost like $50 million to make one of those episodes or something crazy.
Yeah.
And what are they going to do different? What are they going to do in a remake of the last season that is really going to make it that drastically better?
I mean, I think the thing that those people who made the petition would say is that there needs to be a lot more added dialogue, or, you know, depth added to characters that wasn't there because they had to cut down on time.
I would imagine that they will not ever do anything like that again.
No.
I mean, that was such an undertaking in the amount of money that it cost, and as much as they had to do for CGI and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I would imagine they'll be more likely to throw money at shows like Barry, where you can get guys like Bill Hader and Henry Winkler and like other big names.
Well,
and you have big names, and then, like, but it's much way easier to make the actual show than it is to, like, do all the other stuff.
Yeah, and I agree to an extent, but they do have Game of Thrones spinoffs.
That's
planned.
That's where I'm interested to see how they kind of, but didn't, that was before HBO got bought by AT&T, wasn't it?
I can't verify either way, but I do know that the whatever spinoff they're doing, it has nothing to do with any of the timeline that we just got done watching.
Okay. Yeah, for some reason I thought I saw that they were just not doing near as much stuff like that because AT&T was kind of like, all right, y'all got to rein it in a little bit.
Oh, really?
You know, and I mean, that's just what I thought I had read. They were going to be a little more frugal with what they were doing. But I mean, think back, like, I was thinking about this the other day. You look at HBO right now and the list of shows that they've got so many more shows than they did even 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And I mean, 5 years ago, they had Game of Thrones, you had True Detective, and you had some shows that were really expensive to make, but there was only a handful of them, you know?
Yeah.
And it's way easier to make all those shows when there's only a couple. But now they're pushing so much to do more and more of their own original content that then you're...
Got to keep up with Netflix.
Right. You got to keep up. You have to have more and more stuff because people are just going to stop paying for your app if you don't have new things for them to watch.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm like, man, I feel like they're in between a rock and a hard place, because if you want to do huge undertakings like that, you probably got to really dedicate yourself to doing those huge undertakings. But if you want to do a bunch of other stuff, you can't afford to do things like that. Like, mm-hmm. Netflix doesn't do stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know,
no,
but that's also
scale.
Why they have so many different things that come out every week.
Yeah. Well, while we're kind of talking about it, my not's just a real quick, easy one. After Game of Thrones ends, I got to cancel my HBO subscription, right?
Yeah.
Well, I forgot about that, and it just renewed. I got the notification this morning.
Well, now you might as well watch some stuff.
Well, and the thing is, the last 2 weeks, my wife and I have watched Chernobyl, which is that miniseries that they're doing. And I can't remember how long that's supposed to go, but if it goes for another month, then that makes sense that I would just cancel, go one more month in my renewal, and then cancel. So
I watched the first episode of that one, and it was so messed up.
It is.
Just like how, I don't know, it was really messing me up. I was like, I can't watch this anymore right now. I gotta wait on this.
It's interesting. Had you heard of the disaster before you watched it?
Well, yeah, and I knew like the basics of it, but just it, like how ignorant some of those people were about things in first episode. I was just like, dude, these people are being so stupid. Like, clearly you can see that things are going very, very badly right now.
And the unfortunate part is, like, for something like that that's never happened in the history of the world, like, you don't know how to handle it.
Yeah.
But now, like, the good news is that there's a lot of good that came out of that disaster, just because everyone's going to be way more like
hyper aware
of everything nuclear related.
Right. You've got time to watch True Detective now.
I do. Yeah, I'd have to do a lot of binging though. And I mean,
it's only 8 episodes, I think. Oh. Season 1's like 8 episodes, and season 3 is 8 episodes. Skip season 2. Season 2 sucks.
Are they hour long episodes?
Yeah.
Okay.
You could definitely get through it if you watch 1 or 2 episodes a night. It would take you less than a week.
Well, I mean, if my evenings were open, but because I'm in knee deep in housework right now, so, but we'll see. Memorial Day weekend's coming up, so I will probably have at least a little bit more time.
I am very hopeful that you will listen to me and watch this show.
Especially
if you're only going to have HBO for one more month.
Is it coming with your top recommendation? Like you would swear over your grave that this is going to be worth my time?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. That's one of my... Season 1 of True Detective is the best season of television I've ever watched. Like,
really?
Edge of your seat type thing. Yeah.
All
absolutely
right.
Phenomenal from beginning to end. Acting, everything. Writing.
Well... I will suggest it to the wife then.
Westworld is really good too. I think you'd maybe like that one. That one might. I don't know if your wife would like that. That's like a.
That's what I've heard. I've heard there's lots of things to look at.
Well, yeah, maybe a little bit, but nothing. It's all just like it's pretty in with the story.
Okay.
You know, it makes sense like for it to be that way.
Yeah, and you kind of told me this. It's kind of like the whole simulation theory kind of stuff.
Right. It's really intense.
Yeah.
It's one of those ones that I watch. I have to watch it live, and then I can't binge it because I watch one episode, and then I have to sit and think about the episode for like 2 hours
or
7 days before the next one.
A thinker, huh?
Yeah.
All right.
Definitely. All right. What's my not? Oh, yeah. Okay. So my not this week, rough week for rough month. I guess this came out in April, but I just found this today. Rough month for the poop in the streets in the city of San Francisco. San Francisco has deployed a poop patrol to clean up the growing amount of feces on its sidewalks thanks to the homelessness epidemic.
Jeepers, man.
Number two has become... This is a phenomenal lead. This is outstanding. Number two is becoming San Francisco's number one problem.
Whoever wrote that should get a raise.
The city has been experiencing a growing problem of public pooping on its streets by the homeless population, and it's now becoming a major public health concern.
Man, have you ever been to San Francisco?
No.
I haven't either. I'm a little bit worried. I don't think I ever want to go now.
Based on data from the San Francisco Department of Public Works, the organization recently came out with an interactive map that shows every public defecation report that has come into the city's 311 hotline since 2011 and how the incidents are distributed across the city's neighborhoods. Come look at this.
Wait, is this an actual, like, can I look at the map? Holy crap.
Look at how much poop there is.
Dude, and it's all in brown on this map. Okay, so here's my question. Can we cross-reference where the Full House is and, like, see how much poop is near the Full House? Like, what's the address of the Full House?
Yeah, I'm looking. Okay. It's in the lower... It's in the lower Pacific Heights.
Lower Pacific Heights.
Apparently. Here, okay. I'm going back out on the...
All right.
On the island a little bit here.
Because I'm really curious. Like, are the homeless hanging out near the Full House and pooping?
I feel like this is a really important question that needs to be answered.
Yeah.
Really.
I mean, because if I was going to go to San Francisco, I'd want to go buy that house. So.
All right. Well, Chrome just froze, so
we
might not be able to...
And after the podcast venture, we'll have to go on.
Oh, wait. Here, I got it. Oh, man. Yeah, this is like... Oh, yeah, dude. It's right in the heart of it. It's right in the heart of the poop epidemic.
Oh, no. That's just crappy.
What an American tragedy. I mean, homelessness obviously is awful, but
yeah,
this really has me upset.
It is.
I'm glad that the poop patrol is on the case.
Yeah, me too. I mean, yeah, because like that is the emotion you should be feeling. Is that you should feel bad that so many homeless people are having to resort to poop in the streets.
Right.
But I blame the writer for using the number two as becoming number one.
Like, they made such a really awful thing into like way more ridiculous than what it is. But it is kind of a hilarious story, like, when you think about it. Like,
yeah.
That's really something else.
Yeah. Now, I would assume that the reason that so much of it's kind of piling up is because their rent's so high. Like, they can't get anywhere to actually, like, you know, like a low rent area, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. Move to Oakland. I don't think Oakland's near as nice as what San Francisco is. I guess I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I can understand the reason that homelessness is so high in the city of San Francisco.
All right. Well, let's move on.
Yeah, let's move on to pick four.
Move on from your crappy story.
Yeah. Stop. Yeah, okay. We did top four or pick four TV finales.
Yep.
Where's Game of Thrones on your list?
It's not on my list.
That's fair.
Although,
what did we do last week?
Movie villains.
Oh, yeah, that's right. All right, so you want to go first? You want me to go first?
I'll go first because I feel like my list probably is a little bit weaker than yours. So I could have put Game of Thrones on mine just because I have not actually seen a whole lot of series from start to finish. Mm-hmm. And there are a few that I'm watching right now, but they're still, like, going. So I can't really say that I've seen any finales from, like, Mr. Robot or, you know, just other stuff that's still going. So number four, I put MASH. And I put that with an asterisk because I'm not sure if I've actually seen the finale, but I know
that it's like one of the highest rated
TV shows
of all time.
Exactly. And I grew up because like my parents always had MASH on and I kind of just enjoyed watching it. It kind of is a nostalgia thing for me. And I feel like eventually I'm going to have to go back and I'm going to have to start MASH at the very beginning.
Is it on Netflix?
I don't think so. It might have used to be. But I know it's got so many seasons and so many episodes, but it would be kind of an undertaking to start from the beginning and do that.
Yeah.
And I definitely need to see the finale at some point. Number three for me, Lost. I saw Lost many years after it aired live. So I feel like I kind of went in with low expectations just because I had seen a lot of people were kind of outraged at how it ended. And I get that because the last couple seasons were pretty messy. But as far as the finale itself, I rock bottom expectations. I thought it wasn't that bad, and I kind of enjoyed how they wrapped it up personally.
Yeah, really. I watched Lost like on first run,
mm-hmm.
and then I've watched it again since. For as much as they did to really kind of screw everything up, in what how many seasons was it? Six, I think.
Six or seven. Yeah.
Yeah, like as much as they did to screw things up, like in four and five. I want to say it was six. Like in seasons four and five, like they got really out there for a while.
Yep.
You know, and they did as good of a job, I think, as they possibly could have to kind of bring it back to and tie it all together to where it made sense at the end.
Yep. And I thought the way, like the final couple camera shots too were kind of cinematically beautiful in a way.
Oh, the final shot of Lost is absolutely outstanding.
Yeah.
For it to end the way that it did, almost yep. perfect with the way that it started.
So while the back end of Lost, the series may not have been near as strong as the beginning, I feel like the finale was even, you could say, underrated a little bit.
Yeah. It had some of those elements of Game of Thrones, like where they, from what I understand, where they just left so many things unanswered, where you like had no clue how any of it, why any and of they, it like happened the way that it did.
And I would say that they kind of spread their wings so far that it was hard to rein it all back in.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like they let some things get way too weird,
yeah.
You know, where it's like they ran out of ideas, but in reality, they should have done more time like fleshing out some of the things that they'd already laid out.
They dug too far. Too shallow, and they should have focused on going too narrow and too deep.
Yeah,
So
no, anyhow. But I thought the finale was really good. I didn't have it on my top four, but
yep. Moving on up, number two for me, Parks and Rec. It was just kind of good because they flash forward to how everything is going in the future at the very end. I appreciated how Leslie made Ron the supervisor of the Pawnee National Park. Eventually, obviously, she became president and whatnot. Jerry became mayor and was there mayor for like, what, I don't know, 50 years or something like that.
Yeah.
So it was just kind of a good feel good finale.
Yeah. That one's really good. Then this one and the one that you're about to say, it had the same showrunner and they did about as good a job as they possibly could have with both of them.
Yeah. So we'll just go right on. My number one was The Office, and the one part that always sticks back with everyone is that when they bring Michael Scott back to be Dwight's best man.
Dude, if you don't cry, but you can like feel your face getting warm.
Yeah.
When Jim tells him he can't be as best as Minch, and then it's like Michael's right there behind him. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that was a heartwarming top finale moment for sure.
Well, and you can almost even say like if you want to be an ass and be like, no, the series like really ended when Michael left. They did that about as perfectly as they could have too.
Yeah.
You know, that was so good. And that's just what stunk about that show is it's like they probably should have tried to just end it when Carell left.
Yep.
Instead of, I think they took it another
two seasons, I believe.
Yeah. But no, that was perfect.
Yep.
That one was awesome. Because I don't think I've ever even seen those two seasons after he left.
Really?
I mean, I've seen maybe parts of them.
You know, they're not bad, but you can tell something's missing a little bit. And they kind of, if you haven't seen it, but they I think in watching them, they try to turn Andy Bernard into more of a Michael Scott character.
Yeah.
And it just seems like their writing was a little bit off.
Right. Well, it was probably so, he carried that show for so long, you know? And once all of a sudden you don't have that guy to lean on, how good he was.
Yeah.
I can imagine how hard that is. But that, and then when Creed sings at the end.
Yeah.
I also love when Michael Scott talks about all of his kids growing up and getting married.
Yeah.
That's so good. Especially for them to have only had him for they probably could have had him for a day of shooting or something.
Yeah.
And just to have done it perfect. That was awesome. Yeah. Absolutely phenomenal. All right. So here's my list. I've got to start. Number 9 million is How I Met Your Mother, because I saw you type it out and put it number one. And I was like, what in the world is this man doing?
It was a troll, yeah. And I put JK right after it, obviously.
Because it was, I don't know, that, it was like,
you know,
I can look at it both ways where you can say like, okay, that's fine. But that's another show where they really drug that out way too long.
I don't hate that they eventually had him go back to Robin. But the way they did it just didn't work very well.
Yeah. Well, and it was really just, it was weird. And it kind of makes sense because it's like, that's how your dad like tells a story, you know, where he just like rambles on about things kind of like, or my dad maybe doesn't do that. He tells like very direct stories, but I can see where there's like some dads that like, they sit you down to tell you a story or whatever. And like they ramble off in all these random directions that it takes forever for them to tell the story.
Yeah.
And then the end, it's like, it would have been really simple for you to just ask this right from the very beginning.
Exactly.
You know? So like that was good. And if you really want to like go deep in it and think about that's how it is, but at the same time as a viewing experience, you're just like, man, okay. Like we had this one character that was really cool for like three episodes. That kind of sucks.
Yeah, exactly. And I really did like the actual, you know, mother.
Yeah. She was awesome.
Yeah.
I would have liked to see her in the show a lot longer than what she was.
Agreed.
My number four is Mad Men. That show really, like, I think it went maybe a season longer than probably what it should have. But I don't even remember that much of the finale, but I just remember when it was over, you've really felt at peace with everything where you're like, okay, it's over. I feel like I got everything that I could out of this show, and it did. It satisfied me, you know, in the end. I'm not sitting here thinking like, man, like what happened with this? What happened with this? It's like, no, I feel pretty good about how this show ended.
It's always much more satisfying when there's fewer loose ends.
For
obviously.
Sure. My number three was Friends. If you can watch the final like scene of Friends and not, have you watched Friends before?
I've seen basically every Friends episode, but I can't, for whatever reason, I can't remember the finale.
When they all give up their keys and like put them on the counter, and then it's just like pans around the apartment. That
it's kind of silent.
Yeah, it tears me up, dude. It just really tears me up. There's complete silence in that apartment, and you're like, man.
So many memories made in that apartment.
I know. It's really, that one really hurts. Number two is Friday Night Lights. Another one where they just like tied everything up perfectly. Have you watched that show?
Nope.
Man. You need to watch
that one.
I'm
telling you, I have not actually seen that many shows from start to finish.
No, that one is, it was so much better after they got it off NBC, which is kind of crazy to think about. But like once they had Michael B. Jordan as one of the main characters, and you still had some of the same people from before, but it was just like the guy who played Coach Taylor, I can't remember his name off the top of my head. But they just like figured out a way to perfectly tie it all together and then like show what everybody went and did into the future. And then it's just kind of over and you're like, okay, I feel good about everybody, how everybody is going into the future. And then number one is Breaking Bad. I know you haven't seen Breaking Bad.
But funny thing, I can't remember if I mentioned this or not. When Breaking Bad was still going, it had built up a whole lot of hype, and it was kind of like, I think it was kind of coinciding with when Twitter was kind of really growing into its own.
Yeah, I remember that being the first big TV finale you heard about. I watched it after first run.
So I had never seen a Breaking Bad episode in my life, and I just decided to turn on the finale, and I watched the finale.
Made absolutely no sense, but
nope,
it was phenomenal though. Like that's another one of those shows that is storytelling at its absolute peak.
I definitely top of my list. I still need to see Breaking Bad. So
that one and True Detective and Westworld. Right. Before you put those ones priority 1A, 1B before your HBO subscription runs out now.
All right.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Thanks to Carl Chevrolet. Thanks to the professional MBA program, the Ivy College of Business at Iowa State. We will talk to you guys again next week. We're 2 weeks out from an epic event, probably the nicest episode of Stands and Fits in history.
Definitely the nicest.
With much anticipation. 2 weeks from now, right here back on the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast Network. Peace.